And now, for your entertainment pleasure, an audio murder mystery starring a full cast of suspects. The Death of Dr. Davidson.
Inspector McTavish has assembled suspects in the drawing room of the Wakefield Manor.
The role of Inspector McTavish is played by Anderson Stinson III.
Thank you all for joining me. As you know, I have been tasked with investigating the murder of Dr. James Davidson and with identifying the guilty party.
Who did it? As if we didn't already know.
I beg your indulgence for a moment, Mr. Forrester. All will become clear shortly. You see, the facts of this case are most extraordinary. 9 people staying overnight in a house, each of whom had been publicly insulted by Dr. Davidson the evening before. 9 people who discovered that their lives and their futures were about to change, and not for the better. 9 people who had reason to wish Dr. Davidson dead, and 9 people who had the means and the opportunity to do so. This presented quite a challenge, as you can imagine. Where does one begin when everyone is equally suspect? So I decided to walk through the crime in my head, imagining how it could have been done. It's quite obvious that since Dr. Davidson was killed by poison in his cocoa, that the obvious suspect must be the person who prepares and brings him his cocoa every night. The person who allegedly discovered the body.
I had nothing to do with it, Inspector. I'm shocked you'd think I would ever do something so vicious, especially to the doctor. I swear I just left it outside his door. I didn't want to disturb him and whoever he was talking to.
I will address that in a moment, Miss Higginbotham.
Heavens, Inspector, you can't be serious. Hannah wouldn't hurt a fly.
And yet, she, perhaps, is the person most hurt by the doctor's actions.
She is not, Inspector. Forgive me, Hannah, but you only lost a service position. It's nothing to what the rest of us have lost. Or should I say, stood to lose, if he had lived to change his will.
It would appear that way, wouldn't it, Mr. Davidson? Except that in Miss Higginbotham's case, it was not merely the loss of her position. It was ultimately a rejection from the man she loved.
Good heavens, Hannah in love with Papa?
Miss Higginbotham was taken on here as a spinster in her 30s, and found herself in the role of helpmate to a widowed man and mother to 3 bereft children. Yes, I sincerely believe she grew to love all of you, and began to view Dr. Davidson in a, shall we say, marital light, if not an outright romantic one.
Hannah, dear, is this true?
Oh, Sadie, you all needed me so much. And you know, despite his gruffness, I saw how much he truly grieved for your mother. I saw how much he suffered, although he never wanted anyone to know. I guess I just grew fond of him.
Oh, Hannah, how sad for you. Is that why you've stayed on here for so long, hoping that one day he might return your love?
Papa didn't deserve your love, Hannah, and he never would have loved you back. He didn't love anyone but himself.
I knew he'd never love me back, not really. I fulfilled a role in his life. I was here to serve him, to help him, to be there when he needed me. I came to accept that in time. And when he married Mrs. Davidson, well, let's just say I had a right good cry and then I put it all away. All my silly hopes and dreams, but I never bore him any ill will, that I can promise you. I just put my energy into caring for you 3, mostly. Honestly, you're the children I never had.
Inspector, you can't believe this poor woman would have poisoned anyone, let alone Papa.
Well, hell hath no fury, as they say.
It's always the ones you least suspect. A woman neglected for 30 years and passed over for a beautiful young hussy.
Go to blazes, Diego, or whatever your name is.
I admit, at first the motive seemed very compelling. She certainly had the opportunity, and by being in charge of the cocoa, I believe she had the means. But then...
She had the means. Surely she has access to the doctor's surgery where the drugs are kept.
Yes, perhaps she does. However, well, let me demonstrate, if I may. There's no need for all of us to traipse down to the doctor's surgery. I have here a photograph taken yesterday by the police photographers and developed early this morning. Please, all of you, take a close look. I would like to draw your attention to the row of dark bottles behind the locked glass cabinet just there. Miss Higginbotham, please take a look as well. Would you please point out for us the bottle marked chloroform?
Oh, let me have a look. I'll put my glasses on. I don't see it there, Inspector. The labels are all just letters and numbers.
Well, perhaps an easier one. Can you locate atropine amongst these bottles?
Well, as I said, Inspector, they're all just labeled with letters and numbers.
All right. See if you can find one labeled prussic acid.
No, I'm sorry, sir. There's an out with a P in it anywhere.
You've made your point, Inspector.
I don't understand. What does he mean?
He means that Papa labeled his chemicals by their chemical formulae, not their names. Atropine is that one, C17H23NO3. He never labeled dangerous compounds by name.
And as you just saw, Miss Higginbotham was unable to locate prussic acid just now.
Wait, I thought it was poisoned with cyanide.
That's another name for cyanide. It hardly matters, though. She was looking for something with a P in it. Here, hand me the photograph. Let me take a look. Well, of course she can't find it. It isn't even there. It would be labeled HCN for hydrogen cyanide, but there's no such bottle there.
How do you know all this, Marlena?
Remember, dear, I worked as a nurse during the war, and I helped Papa in his surgery. It was a long time ago, but I've always had a head for chemistry.
Your God, Mar, stop talking! You're not helping yourself.
It's all right, Ollie. The point is, Hannah is a dear and clever soul, but she wouldn't know cyanide from baking soda. Even if she did want to kill Papa, she couldn't have done it the way it happened.
No, Miss Higginbotham did not kill Dr. Davidson.
Much as she had cause to. Oh, Hannah, dear, I'm so sorry.
So, with that avenue exhausted, I then decided to consider who among the rest of you absolutely could not have committed this murder. I have to say, in many a previous case, I've been presented with a list of airtight alibis as long as my arm. But in this case, well, I was quite surprised to learn that only one of you has an alibi for the night of the murder.
Who? We all retired to bed after dinner to nurse our wounds.
Well, wounds were nursed, but not all of them here in this house. Mr. Davidson, perhaps you'd care to share what you told me during our interview?
You know what a crashing bore Papa is about drink. I finished off the gin and couldn't find another drop of hooch in this whole place. So I took myself down to the village local for a few pints.
It ended up being quite a bit more than a few.
I had just been blindsided by Papa. I was in desperate need.
And you got so drunk, the publican had to toss you out on your ear after last call. He informed me that you promptly passed out in the hedgerow and stayed there until the early hours of the next morning, snoring all night and keeping him and his wife from getting a decent night's sleep.
So you see, drink isn't all bad.
But Rodney was with us all the next morning when we found James. He didn't look the worse for wear. He certainly didn't look or act hungover.
Or like he'd slept in a shrub all night.
Perhaps, Mr. and Mrs. Forrester. Your lives have not often crossed paths with those whose demons take the form of alcohol. Those in her thrall often learn how to conceal their affliction from others and rouse themselves to behave normally around others, even when dealing with the after effects of indulgence.
How diplomatic. You're saying he's become good at hiding his hangovers.
Correct, Mrs. Smythe.
And that he couldn't have killed Papa. Or rather, like Hannah, it's an extreme unlikelihood.
Again, you share my viewpoint, madam. Rodney Davidson could not have and did not kill Dr. Davidson. So, with only two potential suspects all but ruled out, I decided to look to the crime scene itself, which in turn led to the discovery of the open safe in his study. This puzzled me immensely, I might add. Not only had it been left open for us to discover, but the only item inside the safe was a copy of Dr. Davidson's life insurance policy. Everything else on this inventory of the safe's contents, which Mrs. Smythe was good enough to furnish me this morning, is missing. Of particular note is the matter of £20,000.
£20,000? Good gracious!
There were only two people Dr. Davidson trusted with the combination to his safe. Only two people with unfettered access to the contents, including the vast sum of cash contained wherein. Is that not so, Miss Pangiotis?
Me? Well, yes, I suppose. But I rarely went into a safe, apart from filing some documents and papers, which I never looked at. I just put them away as he asked and closed the safe. I swear it.
And yet, some very valuable jewels and, of course, the cash are missing from the safe. And perhaps more tellingly, a very important document is also missing. According to the inventory list, the deed to Wakefield Manor.
Inspector,
according to some papers I later discovered in Dr. Davidson's study, it seems that Mrs. Forrester was responsible for securing your employment with the doctor. Can you tell me why she arranged for you, specifically, to take this position?
I simply wanted to find her a job. I was doing a good deed for a needy, young village girl. That's all.
No, Mrs. Forrester, that is not all. You wanted Miss Pangiotis in place for a specific reason. You wanted her to have access to your father's files and steal the deed to Wakefield Manor, so that he could not sell it. Is that not so?
I heard him talking to his solicitor one day about a possible buyer. It was nothing definite, but I thought if I could find the deed...
The sale could not go through, or at the very least, would be substantially delayed, perhaps indefinitely.
What of it? This is my family home. Do you fault me for not wanting it sold off? Papa wouldn't let me anywhere near his personal papers. I had to have someone in place whom he didn't know. You can't fault me for it, you really can't.
No, I can't speak to that, Mrs. Forrester. But the fact remains, the money is missing, along with the deed and the other papers, and Miss Pangiotis is the only one who had access to it, after having been so abruptly fired last evening. Perhaps the temptation of all that money was simply too much for her to resist.
No. No, that is not possible.
It is possible, Mrs. Forrester. Miss Pangiotis also had access to the doctor's surgery, where his medicines, including prussic acid, were kept.
Stop this at once.
And given that this one false eyelash was found near the body.
Oh, good heavens. How did that get there?
All right, I confess. I did it. It was me. I killed Papa.
No, Mrs. Forrester, you did not.
I did. I tell you I did. You mustn't think Dulcie did it. She is blameless. I was out of my mind with distress, so I...
Yes. How exactly did you exact your revenge, madam?
The cyanide. I mean, Prussian acid. I put it in his drink. The cocoa. It was in the hall, and on an impulse, I spilled it in his drink.
On impulse? You just happened to have prussic. It is called prussic acid, Mrs. Forrester, not Prussian acid. On your person?
No, I mean, I spied the cocoa and I saw my chance, so...
Sadie, this is absurd.
If it isn't something you typically carry in the pocket of your dressing gown, then where did you obtain the poison, Mrs. Forrester?
I shall leave that for my statement at the police station. Please take me now.
Sadie, what on earth are you doing?
I cannot, Mrs. Forrester. You did not murder your father. It is a noble gesture, though, attempting to take the blame for Miss Pangiotis and spare her the gallows.
Why would you do such a thing, Sadie? Are you out of your mind?
You can't arrest her. You simply can't.
Sadie, pull yourself together. What is this about? Why are you so eager to protect Dulce of all people?
Because... Oh, it's too wretched. You couldn't possibly understand.
Calm yourself, Mrs. Forrester, please. Don't despair for Dulce. She didn't murder Dr. Davidson either. I believe the false eyelash was left there deliberately to accuse her, It was veritably drenched in her perfume to further incriminate her. Now, I may be a bachelor with little experience in feminine frippery, but even I know you don't put perfume on your eyelashes.
Oh, thank God. Thank God in heaven. What monster would try to frame her for murder?
I shall come to that shortly, but for now...
Lady, answer me. How do you know Dulcie? Why in God's name were you willing to hang for her?
Leave me alone, Oliver. All of you, leave me alone.
Perhaps I can shed some light on Mrs. Forrester's state of mind. What you see in her attempt to save Dulcie is the purest, most fundamental, most ferocious love there is. The love of a woman for her child.
Sadie, is this true?
I noticed the similarity between you and Miss Pangiotis when I interviewed her. Something about the way you both laugh. I thought it was just possible you were mother and daughter, given your ages. And then when I considered your strong feelings on what should be done with Wakefield Manor, I followed a hunch. And just this afternoon, paid a call to the local registrar's office to have them locate Miss Pangiotis' original birth certificate. Which, of course, lists her natural mother's name.
It's true. Dulcinea is my daughter. Come here, dearest.
Oh, Mama.
Sit with me.
I'm so sorry it had to come out this way.
Dulcinea, you knew about this? Dear God. How did none of us see it? How did I not put this together?
But when?
You went off to Barcelona that summer, Marlena, and Roddy was too young to be any sort of companion to me. I was so desperately lonely without you. I didn't have a soul to talk to, and so, well, I met a young man in the village. His name was Spiro. He was visiting his aunt and uncle.
The Pangiotis family.
Yes. It was a foolish mistake, but I fancied myself in love. I was only 17. I didn't know any better. And when he left to go back to Greece that fall, I discovered that I'd fallen pregnant. Oh, it was dreadful.
But that autumn, you and I had started courting.
You never wanted me, Oliver. You only paid attention to me because Marlena had abandoned you and run off to Spain. Don't think I didn't know about it. You and she had been having a secret affair, but she broke it off with you and went off to Barcelona for the summer to get over it. Papa made you marry me, even though she was the one you wanted.
I of course not, Sadie. Don't be ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous at all, Mr. Forrester, as well you know. In fact, one of the items recovered in Dr. Davidson's secret hiding place is this letter. Detailing his blackmail demand that you marry Sadie and make an honest woman of her, or he would reveal your misconduct, have you disbarred. Which, despite your protests to me yesterday, were much a threat to your livelihood and freedom at the time. I presume he told you only that Sadie had lost her virtue, not that she had given birth to a baby girl as well.
No, I had no idea. The wedding was set for the following spring, after she was due back from...
A visit to my aunt in the country. What a euphemism that is.
So that's why you want to turn this manor into a home for unwed mothers.
Yes. Yes. So no other girl has to be sent from home to deliver her baby in a strange place with no comfort, no support, with only the glaring disapproval and ill treatment... of the Sisters of Charity, so other girls could keep their babies.
You did the best you could for me, Mama. The Pangiotises are wonderful people. I've had a splendid upbringing.
Good God, I just realized. That makes you my niece. I say, Dulcie, I'm so sorry for pursuing you so lustily. You should have told me.
Not now, Rodney, for pity's sake.
My only comfort was placing you with a family so near Wakefield. At least I was given that small kindness.
So that's why you insisted we stay in the area. It wasn't to look after your father. It was to be closer to Dulcie.
Can you blame me? I'd been forced into this marriage with you, even though I knew we would never love each other. I had to give up my baby girl. It was the only solace I had.
Oliver, I must know something. You know I only eloped with Harrison because you had announced your engagement to Sadie.
What?
Are you telling me that Papa blackmailed you into marrying Sadie?
We can talk about this later, Mar. All of this. This is family business. It doesn't need to be aired so publicly.
Oh, I think it all needs to come out right now, Mr. Forrester. You see, this blackmail question is a very important one for more than just yourself. It seems the good doctor was adept at finding dirt on people and holding it over them. Isn't that right, Mr. Smythe?
With four of our guests ruled out as suspects, whom among the remaining guests will McTavish accuse? Who actually killed Dr. Davidson? Tune in next time to find out.